नमाम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण भ्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो एक्चुअली यस्टरडे वी हैड कंप्लीटेड दिस चैप्टर 11th चैप्टर but we will do a quick recap of what we have seen in this chapter. So this is Raganuga Bhakti, and he defines what is Raganuga. Virajantim Abhivyaktam Vrajavasi Janadishu Ragatmikam Anusrita Yasa Raganugochate. He says that Raganuga is one who follows a Ragatmika Bhakta. The Ragatmika Bhakti is that kind of devotion which is seen predominantly in the Vrajavasis. And he says that that the qualification for practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is Shastriya Shraddha, and the qualification for practicing Raganuga Bhakti is Lobamayi Shraddha, a kind of faith which is born out of greed, intense greed for Krishna. Actually, it is intense greed for the kind of bhakti that Vrajavasis have. Intense greed for serving Krishna, that is the kind of greed that the Bhava Bhaktas and Prema Bhaktas have. So there is a kind of lobha that is there in the, in the Bhava Bhaktas, and there is a kind of lobha that the Raganuga Sadhakas have. The intensity is quite different. The Raganugas are aspirants, and Bhava and Prema, the Ragatmikas are actually perfected. So, and generally this kind of greed awakens after hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, which one becomes qualified to hear only after one gradually hears the other nine cantos and Bhagavad Gita and Bhakti Samsung and everything. So, therefore, generally, Shastriya Shraddha precedes Lobamayi Shraddha. And generally when the Shastriya Shraddha builds up and comes to the stage of Nishta, only then a person generally becomes qualified for getting that kind of Lobha. So therefore, one cannot generally, naturally start with Raganuga Bhakti because it has some prerequisites. And then he says that Srila Prabhupada says that these Raganuga devotees, sometimes he mentions that they do not follow the regulative principles of devotional service very strictly. So, after hearing this statement, it may seem like, how is it? But actually, what he means is, they are not dependent on the rules of the scriptures, and the rules of the scriptures do not act as the impetus for the practice of devotional service. But they spontaneously, because they are following the Vrajavasis, automatically the scriptural intentions are followed. So then, he certainly did not mean that they do not follow the four regulative principles and do the essential limbs of devotion service. That is not the case at all. He says that actually neglect of these basic limbs of devotional service will not even qualify them for Vaidhi Sadhana, what then to speak of Raganuga Sadhana. Like that. So then he says that he mentions again that Nishta is a prerequisite for starting Raganuga Sadhana. And then, when one has reached that stage of Nishta, when one has developed that Lobamayi Shraddha, it may seem externally for someone that these Raganuga Sadhakas are very callous towards their family or country or great men and women who have sacrificed their lives for humanity, like soldiers and army persons, whatever it may be. But actually, it is born out of a higher call. So therefore, one should not, even though common man may think that this person is such an ungrateful person, but It is not that case. So such people do not take these criticisms very seriously, because they are experiencing great bliss in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way they resolutely march towards serving the Lord. And such people, even if they may commit some accidental sins, dhunoti vikarma yachot patitam katanchit dhunoti sarvam hudi sanyivishnu sopadamulam padita priyasya dattanya bhavasya haripareshya. Even if they may accidentally perform some sins, Krishna generally seated within their heart, he removes all those past impressions.
Suppose the example can be understood when Govinda crossed over checking out with the servant. That comes in this.
He is not even Raganu, he is like a Nitya Parshad.
No, but I am just saying that's like an example. Similarly, Raganuga Bhakta also might do something like that.
Yeah. Because generally Raganuga Sadhaka is at the stage of Nishtha. So Nishtha means three of the four kinds of anarthas are not there. Sukrutotta, Dushkrutotta and Bhaktiotta anarthas. So Sukrutotta, Dushkrutotta anarthas are like past impressions. Past sinful impressions are not there. They are no longer troubling him. And Bhaktiotta anarthas means he is no longer troubled by desire for fame, name, fame, prestige, etc. So, aparadotta anarthas. They go out very slow, actually. Take some time.
Almost
Bhava and Prema. Yeah. At the stage, Atyantiki, it is gone only at the stage of after Prema. I mean, if there are like very deep rooted anarthas. So, such people have great confidence in the Lord's shelter. So here he quotes from Rupa Goswami's Tavamala. He says that I am too weak and too lazy to do even the smallest devotional service. So when I hear of the peerless and difficult to perform services performed by great devotees in ancient times, my heart burns with despair. So he's telling that when I hear about how wonderful devotional service were performed by such great people, I feel very desperate that I am not doing anything, I am so weak and lazy. But when I hear of the waves of your mercy, O Krishna, that how you splash your mercy to everyone, from Brahma unto the insignificant ant, my heart is sprinkled with a cooling drop of hope. Like that he says. Asha bindu kshitamidam upaiti antare hanta shaityam. Like that he offers his praise. Which means such people have this deep feeling of hope in Krishna's mercy. So this hope is a significant aspect of nishtha and actually the stage of Raganuga Sadhana. So then he says, by practicing Vaidhi Sadhana, gradually one's heart becomes purified and one achieves the stage of Nishtha. So Nishtha means what? Their physical conduct, their words and their mind are steady. Which means you will never see them, their behavior unpredictable. Or very erratic behavior you will not see. In their behavior, in their words, in their mind. Always very predictable behavior. That is a symptom of a person who has reached the stage of Nishtha. And such people are no longer troubled by their past bad habits. They diligently study Srimad Bhagavatam and respectfully hear about the pastimes of all the other incarnations. But when they read Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, they become especially intrigued. They think Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in Vrindavan, his behavior is charmingly human-like. So which means Maharaj is explaining how while staying in ISKCON and practicing Vaidhisadhana, gradually you can experience the influence of the Raganuga impetus in your own lives. Very simple way. So such a person will, his slowly first, his behavior will become steady, his mind will become steady, predictable, his words will become predictable, then his study of Bhagavatam will become predictable, very regularly he will study and discuss. And while studying, he will develop some special attraction to pastimes of Vrindavan. And then when he hears Shri Prabhupada's classes, Maharaj is explaining this in a very down to earth way. So when he hears about Prabhupada's classes, or they hear Prabhupada's Krishna book, they become struck by Krishna's sweetness, and they also become struck by the innocent love of the Vrajavasis that they have for Krishna. And they become very much excited when they hear from Krishna book or read from Krishna book Prabhupada glorifying the Vrajavasis. Like when Krishna requests Uddhava to go to Vrindavan and try to understand the kind of love that the Gopas and Gopis of Vrindavan they have towards Krishna. So when they hear all that, it naturally creates, it churns their heart and creates that inspiration to aspire for that kind of love, that flavor of love that the Vrajavasis have for Krishna. Sometimes such devotees come together and they ask each other, Prabhu, what is your favorite pastime of Krishna and Vrindavan? Like that they start discussing. You understand? At other times they come together and discuss nectar of devotion to develop the, to increase their devotional insight. Then they sit together and read Chaitanya Charitamrita, which the fresh perspective of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of spreading Raga Bhakti. And while listening to Prabhupada's lectures, they very eagerly relish those part of the lectures where Prabhupada is talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings about Krishna consciousness. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatane Saddhama Vrindavanam Ramyakachidupasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Maha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matavidam Tatradaronam Param. The vast majority of these devotees acknowledge the wonder and uniqueness of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. They know that all pastimes are there, but Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan is unique. But some of them may know that it's unique, but they may not yet be moved to hear about or discuss them. Those who are still more caught up in the Vaidhi mood, they may know and accept that the Krishna's and Vrindavan's pastimes are special, but they may not necessarily be moved to hear or discuss them specially. Still, they discuss them happily in the limited scope of reverential regulated devotion. Within their Vaidhi mood, they may discuss Vrindavan pastimes. Only later do they acquire inspiration to intensify their relationship with Vrajabhakti. Slowly, slowly, that Vrajabhakti mood intensifies. But but this is one who is making a gradual progress. But there are others who are from the beginning only not very neutral. As soon as they hear Krishna's Vraja pastimes, their heart may churn little more, get churned little more. And they may immediately think, hey, one day I would also like to become one of those Vrajavasis. Like one of those Vrajavasis, not one of those Vrajavasis. Although this desire may be weak in the beginning, But over a period of time, the intensity of the desire increases more and more. Krishna Tattva Bhakti Tattva Prema Tattva Sar Bhava Tattva Rasa Tattva Lila Tattva Har. So they with great interest they learn Krishna Tattva Bhakti Tattva Prema Tattva Bhava Tattva Rasa Tattva and Lila Tattva like that. Finally, these steady devotees drawn to Raja Bhakti reveal their minds to their spiritual master. So gradually, when they understand these tattvas nicely, and when they develop this special interest towards the pastimes of Raja, at some point they approach their spiritual master and reveal their hearts to their spiritual master. But they don't start doing anything different. They continue with what they were doing before, just that their mood changes. So Maharaj is actually simplifying this whole, demystifying this whole Raganuga thing. He's telling this is not so mystical as you think. This is an organic change that is expected of any practicing, sincerely practicing Gaudiya Vaishnava. And this is how it gradually happens. And the way he is explaining, this is probably already happening to some of us. But now when you are reading, then you realize, अरे ये तो मुझे भी थोड़ा बहुत होता ही है. One may, you know, understand in this way. So then at some point when it becomes very overwhelming, one may approach one spiritual master and reveal his heart. They now feel a genuine desire to achieve the perfection of Rajavasis, and descriptions of the Vrajavasi's service to Krishna dominate their hearts and mind. Whenever they are thinking, then slowly at some point they will start thinking about how Vrajavasis are thinking. Their spiritual masters are generally pleased to hear of their disciples' interest, because gurus know well the good judgment, sincerity and advancement of their disciples. Gurus and disciples are intimate associates in Srila Prabhupada's service. Still, the spiritual masters examine their disciples with questions and arguments in order to establish which disciple have real qualification and which disciples don't. But when the gurus are satisfied with their particular disciples, then they give them suitable instructions to actually practice Raganuga Sadhana. In other words, even though Vraja Bhakti is spontaneous, no one should think that they can practice it whimsically without the guidance of an able spiritual master. So, then he says that the eternal associates of Krishna and Vrindavan have a unique and intense type of attachment which is unknown to devotees of all the other incarnations. What to speak of incarnations of devotees of all the other incarnations, even some of the incarnations themselves they can't understand. Therefore, you know, Lord Narayan sometimes steals the Brahmana's son so that he can get to see Krishna along with Arjuna, so that he can see their exchange of love, because Lord Narayan never has such kind of exchange of love with any of his devotees. So he wants to see, he wants to experience that unique flavor. Then what then to speak of, if this is the case with Arjuna, who has some reverential mood, then what then to speak of Vrajavasis? So intense is the Vrajavasis attachment for Krishna that it permeates and absorbs their being. So such kind of devotional service, this is spontaneous devotional service in perfection, is called Ragatmika Bhakti. And spontaneous devotional service in practice is called Raganuga Bhakti. So, In short, the type of devotion that inspires pure devotees to follow in the Vrajavasi's footsteps is Raganuga Bhakti, and the bhakti practiced by the Vrajavasis themselves is Ragatmika Bhakti. And there is a gulf of difference between Ragatmika and Raganuga Bhakti. Ragatmika Bhakti is perfection. Raganuga is practice. Ragatmika Bhakti is practiced with spiritual emotions. Raganuga Bhakti is practiced with spiritualizing emotions. It's not yet spiritual.
Sadhana.
In spontaneous, in Raganuga Bhakti, devotees cultivate the limbs of devotion such as hearing and chanting as a means to attain prema. But that prema has not yet developed within their heart. In Ragatmika Bhakti, it has fully blossomed within their heart. Rupa Goswami defines spontaneous devotional service as Ishte Swarasiki Bhava Paramavishtata Bhavet Tanmayi Yabhavet Bhakti Sa Atra Ragatmika Udita. So before he says, Raganuga Vivekartam Adav Ragatmika Uchyate. He says that first, before defining Raganuga, you have to understand what is Ragatmika. Because my definition of Raganuga is that which follows Ragatmika. So if you do not know what is Ragatmika, how will I explain you Raganuga? So he says, let me first describe to you what is Ragatmika Bhakti.
Raganuga Bhakti, when he attains perfection, he is called Ragatmika.
Yeah, you can call him a Ragatmika Bhakti. Yeah, when he attains perfection. Attains perfection of the mood that he is aspiring for.
Basically, it becomes a
Vrajavasi. Yeah. So he says, Ishte Swarasiki Ragaha Paramavishtata Bhavet Tanmayi Yabhavet Bhakti Sa Atra Ragatmika Udita. He says, Raga means that intense thirst for the object of love, which creates intense absorption in the activities which are done for pleasing that object of love. That is called as Raga. And Ragatmika Bhakti means that bhakti, those activities of bhakti, when they are inspired only by this intense thirst and absorption, then that kind of bhakti is called as Ragatmika Bhakti. When the actions are inspired by this thirst, there is no sense of it is not inspired by Shastra Vidhi. It is not inspired by an inspiration to follow some other person, but it is born out of a spontaneous thirst to please the object of love, Krishna. So then that is called as Ragatmika Bhakti.
Does this also include those devotees who are striving to serve their spiritual master? Service is mentioned in Bhagavatam and all the devotional scriptures those devotees may not be doing those services, but indirect many services are there.
Yeah.
Like in GV, if you see, there are so many services which are not mentioned in Bhagavatam. But they are necessary to please the spiritual master.
If you see the kind of services in Bhagavatam also, that which is mentioned, or many of the services are not directly Shravanam Kirtan. Uddhava was asked to travel and convey the message. Akrura did some service like, you know, coming and taking Krishna and Balram. So, you know, it is the intention that matters. But of course, such people are characterized by a very sincere desire to hear and chant. And when they get other services, they very happily engage those services also. So, it is not necessarily only hearing and chanting. But a desire to hear and chant is a very significant symptom in those devotees.
Talking about those services, that endeavor to please the object.
Object means Guru and Krishna. Rupa Goswami mentions that of the 64 limbs, most of the limbs can be equally applied to Guru also. In fact, some of the limbs are applied only to Guru. First few. Adav Guru Padashraya, Vishrambena Guru Seva, Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam, Saddharma Pritcha, Sadhu Margana Gamanam. All these things are like only applied to Guru. And he says some others which are applied to Krishna, most of them are applied to Guru also, like that he says. So therefore, then he says that the devotees of other incarnations, they may also have Lobamayi Shraddha or Shastriya Shraddha. But that Lobamayi Shraddha is not defined as Raga in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. And he does not talk about that Lobamayi Shraddha also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because he wants to keep his audience focused only in one type of love which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute, which is Rajabhakti. He said the devotion of Hanuman, the devotion that Hanumanji feels for Lord Ram is an example of love which is weakened by awe and reverence. So he quotes an example. Once when Hanumanji performed some wonderful service, Lord Ram embraced Hanumanji. And that Hanumanji could not tolerate that. So he says that knowledge of Lord Ram's divinity disabled Hanuman from reciprocating the Lord's fraternal mood. The Lord wanted some fraternal mood with Hanumanji, but his knowledge of the Lord's Aishwarya like disabled Hanumanji from reciprocating in that way. Like when Arjuna saw the Virat form, Saketi Matva Saketi Prasavam Yaduktam He Krishna He Yadava He Madhaveti, like that he offers, and his Sakya Bhav was tottering like drop of water on a lotus leaf. So should I actually deal with you as a friend? Like that he was feeling.
I come and approach this place by treating you as a friend.
So like that he was feeling very odd.
That's the power of our reverence.
But when the same Virat form was seen by Mother Yashoda, it's just inspired her Vatsalya Bhav more, that's all.
Maybe
he needs more of my protection. Like that she was thinking.
Maybe I'm hallucinating.
Like that she was thinking.
So, my son, how can this
How can he do it? Or when Trinavarta was killed by Krishna, it was quite obvious. And from such a big height, this big demon was just, he became paste, literally. And Krishna was just, we were not even crying. So some of the Vrajavasis got together and they were debating how this could happen. Some of them said, look, Nanda Maharaj is such a pious person. So therefore, how can the Supreme Lord Narayan punish him by taking his dear son away from him? So therefore, that's why Krishna survived. And other Vrajavasis came and they said, no, that is not the case. Actually, Krishna is such a sadhu. He does not even know to differentiate between friend and enemy. This Srinavarta had taken Krishna to such a height to kill him, but Krishna was taking shelter of Trinavarta by holding his own neck. He is such a sadhu. But it didn't occur to even any one of them that Krishna only choked Trinavarta to death. It didn't strike to anyone. They were seeing that influence, they were seeing that Aishwarya, but it didn't enter their heart only.
They're so fixed in Prajapati.
So like that. Unfettered by feelings of awe, the Vrajavasis thus enjoy the unlimited ecstasy of unconditional spontaneous love. So then he says that this Ragatmika Bhakti is of two types, Kamarupa and Sambandha Rupa. Kamarupa means conjugal, Sambandha Rupa means Dasya, Sakya and Vatsalya. They are all put. We can say that conjugal is also one Sambandha, relationship only. But because it is a special kind of relationship, therefore it is given a special status. So therefore it is like the king is coming and the rest of the countrymen are coming. Actually the king is also a citizen of that country only. But he is a special citizen. Therefore it is mentioned that all the citizens of the kingdom came to see or to watch this magician perform. And the king also came. One may say, what is the necessity? All the citizens means king is also a citizen. But king is a special citizen. So therefore, Kama Rupa is separately mentioned and Sambandha Rupa is separately mentioned. Even though Kama is also one kind of Sambandha, like that. So, it is mentioned, it is called as Kama Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti. Kama Rupa because the external form, it looks like Kama. There is embracing, there is kissing, there is dancing, there is sidelong glances, all these things are there. But then there is Raga Atmika. The essence is Raga. Raga means Krishna Saukhyartam Eva Kevalam Udyama. All the endeavors are there only for purely for the pleasure of Krishna and not for one's own sense gratification. Even though this is same with Sambandha Rupa also. Sambandha Rupa, it takes the form of friendship, it takes the form of parental affection, it takes the form of servitude, but then again Raga Atmika. Krishna Saukhyartam Eva Kevalam Udyama. So even though one may say that the essence is Raga only, but still the flavor is maintained by everyone. Like I gave this example. Like Mother Yashoda is very much worried that Krishna is going barefoot to graze the cows. So how does she respond to that concern? She wanted to make some shoes for Krishna. That is how a mother responds. The same concern the gopis also have. What is that? So they are telling that, you know, when we imagine that how you are going barefoot to graze the cows and your feet will be pierced by the thorns and pebbles, it really breaks our heart. So how do they respond to this concern? They want to embrace Krishna's lotus feet to their chest. Same concern, but response is in accordance to their relationship.
Last time they mentioned. Because last time you why want to embrace her? This is our chana vijat tradition.
Correct. And the friends, they are also concerned that Krishna is walking barefoot to graze the cows. How do the friends respond to this concern?
Massage.
They will massage Krishna's feet. Sometimes they will carry Krishna on their shoulders. They don't embrace the lotus feet of Krishna on their chest. They don't try to make a shoe for Krishna. But it is the same concern. Krishna Saukhyartam Eva Kevalam Udyama. The endeavor and the intention is to please Krishna, but the form in which that reciprocation comes is so exclusive to their mood of relationship with Krishna. In fact, the cows of Vrindavan, they are also concerned that Krishna is walking barefoot to graze the cows. So how do they respond? they hit the ground and powder that so that it becomes very soft. So that is in line with the mode of service, mode of relationship that they have with Krishna. In fact, the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan and Yamuna, they are also concerned that Krishna is walking barefoot. How do they respond? By becoming soft, by becoming cool during hot summers, and by becoming warm during winters, like that. So the point
clouds
is
also.
Clouds.
Clouds of dew. Become the complete
summer very hot.
They sprinkle some water. So like that. So the point is, even though everyone is concerned about Krishna's pleasure, but the form in which they express that concern is so unique to their relationship that they have with Krishna. That is why it is called as Kama Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti. Sambandha Rupa Raga Atmika Bhakti. So the Rupa is also maintained, the Atma, the essence which is Raga, is also maintained, and it is Bhakti. But mundane love is Kama Rupa Kama Atmika Bhakti. It has the form of conjugal affection, and the essence is also lust only. And it is bhukti. Bhukti means Atma Saukhyartham Eva Kevalam Udyama. It's not Krishna Saukhyartham Eva Kevalam Udyama. Every endeavor is only for the pleasure of one's own senses and not Krishna's senses. Like that. So then he says, that to inspire its readers to Vrajabhakti, Srimad Bhagavatam dedicates its very heart, the first 40 chapters of the 10th canto, descriptions of the spontaneous devotion of Vraja. Krishna spent 10%, less than 10% of his life in Vrindavan. But Shukadeva Goswami dedicates 50% of, you know, whatever he spoke to describing Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. So what exactly is the greed that qualifies devotees to practice spontaneous devotion? Greed is the intense natural desire of devotees for the service mood of the Vrajavasis. Although greed may have varying degrees of intensity, broadly speaking it is of two types. Two types, Jatarati and Ajatarati. Jatarati means the greed that is seen in those devotees who have reached at least the stage of bhava and prema. And Ajatarati means, and this is also called as Samutkanta. Asha Bandha Samutkanta Namagane Sadaruchi Asaktistat Guna Kyane Pritistat Vasatistale, like that. So one of the nine Anubhavas, of the symptoms of the stage of, reliable symptoms of the stage of bhava, is samutkanta, that greed, that intense greed. But this is at the stage of bhava and prema. Therefore, this is called as jatarati, greed. Jatarati loba. And ajatarati loba is that greed which is seen in a person who is still raganuga. Okay. Prabhupada calls it ambition. I want to develop the kind of love that these people have. Like that. And when they nurture this greed, ajatarati, over a period of time it becomes jatarati at the stage of bhava. So like that. But sometimes, both this ajatarati and jatarati are more or less like consistent, permanent. More than permanent, you can say it is like consistent, at least when it comes to ajatarati, because ajatarati also manifests at the stage of nishta, where there is some level of steadiness. But sometimes, in those people who have not yet reached the stage of nishta, or sometimes in those people who may not even have pure devotional faith, sometimes there appears a sense of eagerness, which is very brief. It comes and goes when they hear about Krishna and Krishna's associates in Vrindavan. So this kind of greed is not cannot be called as raga. So only enduring greed, that which is steady over a period of time, that can be considered to be raga. So therefore one has to be very clear. Again and again Maharaj wants that Nishtha is a prerequisite for practicing Raganuga. If one does not take this instruction seriously and try to prematurely cultivate it, then our Sampradaya falls into disrepute. So like that, Sahajayism it leads. So Prabhupada from the beginning only was very heavy against all these things. When he heard about this Gopi Bhav club, he was like very heavy, severe about all these things. So they say that the gopis worship Krishna in this way, so why can't we also worship? So, but they don't understand that, yes, they did worship, but what was their level of devotion? What was their heart? And by arguing in this way, they continue their offensive mentality and they fall deeper into, you know, yeah, like that. So, both Bhaktivinod Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur vigorously fought against such kind of unscrupulous conduct. So, they really prohibited the practice of Raganuga Bhakti immaturely. And Srila Prabhupada also followed in their footsteps. But they also described, it's not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not write about Raganuga Bhakti, he wrote extensively. It's not that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur did not speak about Raganuga Bhakti, he also spoke. And it's not that, and Prabhupada did not write only about Vaidhi Bhakti. In Nectar of Devotion and in other places, he elaborated about the Raganuga sections also. But when it is unscrupulously exhibited by those who have not yet reached that particular stage, then it leads to problems. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpata Eva Kalpate. And sometimes it may seem that it's not that even for a Raganuga Sadhaka, it is not that all activities of the Ragatmika Bhaktas can be imitated also. Like for example, the gopis worshipping Katyayani Devi, and the gopis did not accept a guru. And you know, these kind of things are sometimes, you know, they may perform some rituals given in Dharma Shastra. So these kind of things, even though the denizens of Vrindavan may do, but we have to understand that their desire to do it is born out of prema. And that will not be, that may not always be according to scriptures. Like for example, Prithu Maharaj, when he was planning to give up his body, he, during hot summers, he would be standing in hot sun with sun blazing from the top, and on all the other four sides he would light fire, and in between that he used to perform intense tapasya. He used to perform some ashtanga yoga also, and he was thinking that let this practice of tapasya and ashtanga yoga intensify, add to the intensity of my bhakti. Now if you say, is this according to the injunction of the scripture? No. But this kind of a mood is born out of his intense prema. So that which is born out of prema need not always be in line with the scriptural conclusions. So therefore, it is mentioned Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vikehana Bhujar. It is not possible to understand the actions and activities of a devotee at the level of prema. Like when Pundarik Vidyanidhi is chewing paan and applying scented oils and all that, one may think that, oh, this is born out of his Rajoguni impressions. But actually it was born out of his prema. So unless one understands Bhakti Rasa and the science of Bhakti Rasa, it is not possible for such people to understand the activities of such exalted people. That's why Srila Vishwanatha Gadadhar in the beginning of Madhurya Kadambini, he writes, Bhakti Purvai Shritastam Tu Rasam Pashye Dhyatadi Tam Naomi Satatam Rupa Nama Priyajanam Hare. He says, in the past, many great acharyas have practiced bhakti, perfected bhakti, and inspired people. But of all the great acharyas, my repeated obeisances is for Rupa Goswami. Why? He says, it is because of Rupa Goswami that even a common devotee has gained the eyesight to see and understand rasa, bhakti rasa, through his writings of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjwal Neelamani, like that. Otherwise, when a common devotee may see some activities of very exalted devotees, they will think that, he is also acting within the three modes. When they see Prithu Maharaj becoming competitive with Mother Lakshmi, they will think that, oh, Rajoguni. Thoda Rajoguni lag raha hai. But those who have that vision of Bhakti Rasa, they see, oh, this is Dasya Ras primary and secondarily Virya Ras, which is born. But one who does not know will misunderstand. So therefore, Rupa Goswami presented this Bhakti Rasa as a science. So in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, there are verses like where one devotee says, who cares about what Balramji thinks? And he may do something, he may do this, he may do that, but I don't care what he thinks or what he does. All I care about is Krishna. Like that. If you see, the same mood Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother had towards Nityananda Prabhu when he disrespect Minaketan Ramdas. He was doomed. But he did not externally say anything, but he did not show that kind of respect that he must have shown to an associate of Nityananda Prabhu. That's all. But here this person is explicitly seemingly blaspheming Balramji, but Rupa Goswami says, oh, this is a Sanchari Bhav, he says. Because he sees those other symptoms and he says, oh, this is a Sanchari Bhav which is born out of Virya Ras, he says. So, therefore, this is a whole different stimulus response system. We know in our common stimulus response system, the stimulus is always the three modes. Whereas on the level of prema, the stimulus is vibhav, alambana, uddipana. So all those act as the stimulus, and the response comes in the form of sattvika bhav, sanchari bhav, like that. So, but this Sattvika Bhav, Sanchari Bhav may look very much like material actions.
Mm.
So, therefore, one may think material actions means material stimulus, one may think. Tattvagun, Rajogun, Tamogun. But what they don't understand is here a whole different stimulus response system is working. And unless one understands rasa, they will misunderstand that person. Therefore, Vishnu Jagadagur says, my repeated obeisances is to Rupa Goswami, who so systematically presented the science of bhakti rasa, so that even a common devotee can understand the science of rasa. So sometimes these people may say that the gopis deceived their family members to meet Krishna. So therefore we may also deceive other devotees, or even we may even deceive our gurus to improve our rasika bhakti. Like that they may think. Needless to say, these devotees lack the spontaneous love of the Vrajavasis. A love that is so pure that it transforms lying into an action, act of pure devotion. Instead, imitators lose sight of the distinction between truth and untruth, and their lies transform them into servants of Kali, Kali Chelas, like Prabhupada spoke about them in this way. So actually it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who coined this term, Kali Chelas, you know, servants of Kali. So therefore, in truth, respect for scripture, moral conduct and honesty are all symptoms of genuine greed-inspired devotion. You will see that in Raganuga Sadhana, automatically moral conduct is taken care. Honesty is taken care. Respect for scriptures is taken care. Just that their inspiration is coming from greed. So, he says that how does this genuine greed arise? Generally, this is very rare. Such a kind of greed is very rare. Janma koti suprutayatna labhyate. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. Tatra laulyam api ekalam mulyam. Janma koti suprutayatna labhyate. When genuine greed does arise, however, it does so from the effect of hearing transcendental sound, praising the sweetness of the Vrajavasi's love. Just one second. Hari Bol. आप एक छोटा जगह पे वो उसका बीज लगा दो, चले चले So therefore, genuine greed arises only from the effect of hearing the transcendental sounds praising the sweetness of Rajavasi's love, beauty, qualities and pastimes. Such narrations are found first and foremost in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are also found in books written by realized devotees, like Vrajariti Chintamani, and so many such books are written. Prabodhananda Saraswati wrote Vrindavan Mahimamrita, like that. they say that he is like a Raja fanatic, Prabhu.
He is contemporary to me, he is contemporary to me, contemporary Acharya of each.
He is Gopal Bhattu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ka hi hai.
So he wrote that Acharya.
Gopal Bhattu, that is Srinath Chakravarti. He is the guru of Kavi Karana. He was also like a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In words of Srila Prabhupada, the pure devotee of the Lord enjoys life by constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing Krishna Katha. For such a person, the bliss of Brahmananda is like a rock. Readers who understand the essence of this statement will not be misled by the semblance of greed, whether in themselves or in others. One will understand. So strong is the taste for pure devotion in devotees with real eagerness for ragatmika bhakti that it admits no room for attachment to anything else. So if one thinks that they have raganuga bhakti or ragatmika bhakti, at the same time they have attachment for other material things, then they are in illusion. Because that intensity of greed is so high that it cannot admit any other attachment for any other thing. Like that. But still, the intensity of greed for Raganuga and Ragatmika is very different. Why? Raganuga greed still has tinges of goodness. Because at the stage of Nishta, Rajastamo Bhava Kamalubadayasche Chetayate Ranavidram. But Stitam Sattve Prasidati. But the Ragatmika greed is Trigunatit. The Raganuga greed is Dvigunatit. It is transcendental to two modes. Whereas the Ragatmika greed is transcendental to three modes. So, he says that at what stage that Raganuga greed appear? It can, technically it can appear at any stage, but generally at the stage of Nishta only. He says. Generally, however, greed appears in the practicing devotees at the stage of steadiness or beyond. Srila Prabhupada writes, we must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Raja is not possible unless one is freed of material contamination. Anartha nirutike aage hi hota hai. In practice of devotional service, there is a stage called Anartha Nivritti in which all material contamination gradually disappears. Sometimes persons are found to be imitating such devotional love before they have become free of anarthas or unwanted habits. Like that. And eventually, when their Raganuga greed eventually matures into Ragatmika greed. Like that. So again he talks about these two kinds of Shraddha. One may say that you say that greed is the prerequisite for Raganuga. But we have heard that faith is the prerequisite for Bhakti. How will you resolve? He says faith is of two types. Faith born out of scriptures and faith born out of Loba. So when we say greed, we talk about faith only, but faith that is born out of greed. Like that, he says. He says that one is Shastra Vishwasamayi Shraddha and Bhava Madhurya Lobamayi Shraddha. So, Shastra Vishwasamayi Shraddha is the kind of faith that the Vaidhisadakas have. And Bhava Madhurya Lobamayi Shraddha is the kind of Shraddha that Raganuga Sadakas have. But this Shastra Vishwasamayi Shraddha is the prerequisite to attain Shastra Lobamayi Shraddha, Bhava Madhurya Lobamayi Shraddha. So then he says that but then even though there are repeated warnings by Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Vidakur about prematurely taking up to Raganuga Bhakti, But people go to the other extreme also sometimes, telling that to speak about Raganuga Bhakti itself is actually you have deviated. Huh? Or they say that let people first become liberated and then let them think about Raganuga. At this stage they should not even hear about Raganuga like that. So this ultra conservative attitude is, Maharaj writes, is not supported by neither Srila Prabhupada nor by the other acharyas. It is true that when prematurely taken up, it can cause havoc, but at the same time, you cannot stunt its growth also. Because naturally then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission will not be fulfilled. So even Bhaktisiddhanta Sajidakur mentions that the fault is not with spontaneous devotion, but the fault is with the false teachers who teach this spontaneous devotion improperly for those who have not yet become qualified for it. So he writes that ignoring Raganuga Bhakti has not made it unimportant. So he says that this preventive and discouraging methods do not offer any positive cure for such abuse and have, as a matter of fact, been found to be practically useless. By telling that, in today's day and age, Raganuga sadhana does not work, only everyone should practice Vaidhi sadhana. Well, that is not right. This comment is relevant to ISKCON, particularly in light of recent unsuccessful attempts by our leadership to restrict the study of spontaneous devotion. It is very straightforward. Resolutions have done nothing to stem the tide of growing interest in the subject. If anything, they have done the opposite. The leadership have told, don't read about it, don't read about it. People thought, people who have not heard about it also, now they want to read about it. Our Param Guru recommends intensive counter propaganda. Param Guru means Bhakti Siddhanta Sadhaku, his Param Guru, Shivaram Swami Maharaj. We should present the right conception of spontaneous devotional service, he says. Then Prabhupada ka ek conversation he quotes. Satswaroop Maharaj says, that means that we can make reference to the gopis? Huh? About BTG's, on behalf of the BTG staff members, where someone raised the issue that how can you write about gopis? So he says, so Maharaj is asking Prabhupada, so you mean to say that we can speak about gopis? Prabhupada says, Oh, it is done? Gopis are boycotted? So Satswaroop Maharaj says, no, gopis are not boycotted. Prabhupada says, the policy should be that people may not understand gopis like ordinary girls or like that. You should be careful to present the gopis. How you present is important. It does not mean that we shall not utter even the name of gopis. We have taken vow to boycott the gopis? No. They are our worshipable devotees. How can we avoid them? Prabhupada says. Satswaroop Maharaj says, what about writing down kissing the lips of Krishna? Kiss of lips of Krishna. Prabhupada says, no. That we should avoid. But that is not abominable. You can't call it abominable. Because that is Kama Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti. People may not understand. When they see Kama Rupa, they naturally think Kamatmika Bhakti. According to time and circumstances, that thing I have described, the fact is fact. It did happen. How can you say it did not happen? Just like when I am describing Krishna's Leela, I am writing Krishna's life. So I cannot give up that portion of his life when Krishna is actually kissing the gopis in Rasa dance. I wrote it. Satswaroop Maharaj says, but that's in the books, not in the public. Prabhupada says, yes. So in such circumstances, of course, we can give. but as far as possible, very cautiously and very rarely we shall present. And then he explains that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed such pastimes only with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Raya, such exalted devotees, not with common people like that. High Agriva says, so then there is nothing specifically objectionable? Prabhupada says, no, there is nothing like that. Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj explains that spontaneous devotion is part and parcel of the soul and it cannot be ignored. Instead, it should be understood through the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. By devotees surrendered to the lotus feet of their spiritual masters. It is interesting to note that opinions vary even amongst Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's followers about how devotees should hear the topic of Raja Bhakti. One of Bhaktirakshak Sridhar Maharaj mentioned when he heard the devotees before Bhagavatam class singing Jai Radha Madhava, he felt that it was too liberal.
How do you think it's a prayer?
Yeah. Anyway.
But
we cannot write, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur can say, one who is on that level. Another Gaudiya Math Sanyasi said that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur restricted people, his disciples, from reading the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Raya, the esoteric sections. But Srila Prabhupada gave no such explicit instructions. He translated it and he ensured that those Chaitanya Charitamrita are distributed widely. So therefore, we have to follow our founder Acharya. Whatever others may think, we follow. Our strength of devotional service comes from following our founder Acharya. Like that he concludes. So, this was a recap for those who could not attend yesterday. So, tomorrow we won't have any recap. We will directly start the next chapter. So, which is spontaneous devotional service in practice, that is Raganuga Bhakti part 2, we will discuss tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj ki, Shuddha Bhakti Chinta.